Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. In today's message, the first on forgiveness, we're looking at Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, on this Sunday of thanks, of celebration, and in honor of all that you have done for 112 years in this place, we continue to seek you in our lives. We continue to ask you to watch over us and guide us and to work within us to bring us peace in our souls. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Just going to show a quick video here now, actually, and Anthony's just going to cue it up there for us. Did anything in that video stick out to you, for you? Did it invoke anything in you? It's pretty amazing to see stories like that of people who have been hurt, but still able to forgive those who hurt them. Have you ever been hurt by someone? Have you been able to forgive? It's a tough question, I know. We've all been hurt in some way or another. It seems like it's just part of a life. We're going to get hurt by someone. And the severity can change. Some hurts are pretty small, some are quite deep, but nonetheless, there's still hurt and pain. Many of you know I started a course this fall, and that's where I was last week, where I'm learning how to be a supervisor for ministry students. And so I was in Halifax taking this rather intensive course, the first of 2 weeks. I have to go back in May. And over the course of the week, we had a chance to practice supervising one another in small groups, which meant we had to be prepared for pretty much anything. So we were coached to try to focus on key things as the conversation would unfold that we were having with the person we would be supervising. So looking for changes in energy or changes in emotion or body language, or even just to follow our own and trust our own instincts. We were being challenged to go deep, to not be afraid to dig into the emotions that might be starting to present themselves in the session. And not to be afraid to ask the tough questions in the moment. It was later in the week I had a chance to be the one being supervised. So I brought just a conversation into the room that I was hoping to have around a decision I have to make sometime in the next year. And so I was being supervised by a lovely lady from Newfoundland. And again, remember, we're being told to not be afraid to dig into the emotion that might come up. There was a moment in the conversation when she asked me a question, and I can't even remember what it was, but my response was that I had experienced some bullying in high school. Well, she thought she hit the jackpot right there. She started to poke and probe at this memory that I had shared. There's only one problem, though. There's nothing for her to find. There's nothing to dig into. Those memories that I shared, they mean nothing to me. I honestly have dealt with those things a long time ago. But she was like a dog with a bone. She was determined she was going to find something in there. She kept poking and asking questions and tried to find that big aha moment, right, that she was going to solve all my world problems. But, again, there's nothing to find. After a few minutes of her kind of digging, our instructor finally stopped her and said, I think he means it. And so she relented, and we were able to get on with the conversation I was hoping to have and not focus on things that really had no bearing on what was happening from my past. But she saw what she thought might have been an emotion. She felt an instinct, and she went after it, trying to dig up some old feelings that weren't there. But imagine, feelings, eh? Emotions. My goodness. There are many, though, many, many, many people who carry along some kind of hurt from their past. And while I dealt with that, there are other things that we can all deal with. And that hurt we carry impacts us. It would make a huge difference if we were able to let it go. Just free ourselves from it. I'm willing to go as far as to say that most of you, if not all, are carrying something from your past, some sort of hurt. Now, you may not deal with it on a daily basis. It may just come up every once in a while. And while I've dealt with that stuff from high school, I'm sure there's other things in my life that I have to deal with. The hard part is when we read from Jesus that we must forgive. He commands us to forgive. There's one point in Scripture where Peter goes up to Jesus and says, "How many times must I forgive? 7? And what does Jesus say? 77 or 70 times 7, depending on your translation. In other words, never stop forgiving. That is hard. That is a hard thing to read and to take into our lives. Now, not forgiving people is a problem. It's a problem because Jesus commands us to forgive. I mean, what do we pray here every Sunday? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus taught us that prayer. We must forgive. This is a really big issue. So we're actually going to spend a few weeks talking about forgiveness. Why we need to do it, how we need to do it, and who we need to forgive. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 17, Jesus gives this command. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and comes back to you and says, "I repent," forgive him. You must forgive him. Wow. That's not an easy thing to do. The disciples even realize that this is a hard thing to do. And so what do they ask Jesus? It comes in the very next verse. They say, "Increase our faith." They know they need help, so they say, "Increase our faith." Jesus then gives them an example to let them know they already have enough faith. Talks about the mustard seed. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can uproot trees and throw them in the ocean. What Jesus is saying simply is, if you follow him, if you believe, then you have enough faith. You just need to do it. And then Jesus tells a parable of an owner after his slave has worked all day, his servant has worked all day. The owner comes home and says, "Make me a meal." And do we hear the servant complain? No. The servant just does what he's asked to do. It's part of his job. So what Jesus, when we look at the context of what Jesus is telling his friends, that when he says do something, and in this case is about forgiveness, Jesus says the proper response is just to simply say, "Yes, sir," and do it. Jesus talks a lot about forgiveness. So why is it so important? I mean, forgiveness is hard work. So what's the point? Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier just to walk around and be angry and bitter and push those feelings way down deep and not have to worry about them? Just not let them surface, just bury them away? Wouldn't that be easier? Well, actually, the answer is no. So how do we begin this process of forgiveness? Jesus is asking us to forgive others, in fact, commanding us to do so. And the disciples, they come back and say, "It's very hard." And Jesus agrees. It is hard. Now, some people think that forgiveness is simply just saying, "I forgive you," and walking away. And a lot of people believe that. And it is where we need to start. We need to make that conscious decision that we are going to forgive someone. But a lot of people who make that step stop right there and don't do anything else. But yet they still carry that hurt, they still carry that pain with them. It doesn't go anywhere. There was someone who ripped me apart publicly once, and it hurt. And afterwards, this person was all I could think about. For months, he was occupying a place in my life, and I couldn't get him out of there. I'd go for a walk, and it was like he was right there beside me. I'd go and pray, and I would just constantly think about him. I knew that I had to forgive him, and I said I did forgive him, but nothing changed. He was still there, occupying a part of my life. And then God gave me an idea. I started to pray for him. And if I saw him, I would shake his hand and say hello and wish him a nice day. And I would keep that up. And eventually, over time, those feelings of hurt and anger I had within me, they went away. Luke 6, verses 27 and 28 say this: "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." And there it is. Just what God had told me to do is written in his very word. I clearly needed to do more than simply say to myself, "I forgive him." My thoughts needed more. They needed action. If God asks us to love our enemies, we need to ask ourselves, what is love? Love is a verb. Love is an action. Forgiveness is a form of love. Therefore, forgiveness must be an action. It needs to be more than just thoughts and words. We need to do something to forgive. For example, God loved the world. And what does it say in John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." God gave us his Son so that we may be forgiven. God took action in his forgiveness, in his love. Now, there are problems if we don't forgive others. It affects us in some pretty obvious ways at times, but also, and maybe more powerfully, in subtle ways. The first way that unforgiveness affects us is physically. Not forgiving someone affects our physical, our emotional, and our mental health. This is probably the most obvious ways in which unforgiving people and sin impacts us. It impacts us because it is exhausting to not forgive someone. It occupies our mind. It affects our bodies because of the stress. I think you know stress impacts your body. I feel stress in my shoulders and my neck to the point where there's sometimes where it impacts me. I have trouble turning my head, and I don't think it's because I'm getting old. It could be part of it, but we need to watch for these signs in our bodies of stress and how it's impacting us and start to figure out what is causing our stress. I mean, sure, it could just be a busy time at work, but it could also be something much, much deeper, such as the pain of not forgiving someone. Scientific studies even show that having and carrying these negative emotions around us are toxic. It negatively affects your physical, emotional, mental health. In other words, it's not good for you. So we should try and get rid of all these negative things in our lives so that we can get rid of the stress and be able to live pain-free. Scripture even warns us about the effects of the stress of sin on our bodies. Psalm 31 says, "For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. My bones waste away." And Psalm 38 says, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin." Any sin is not good for us, and the sin of unforgiveness certainly is included in that. It's not good for us either. The sin of unforgiveness also hurts our spiritual health. In Ephesians 4, it gives us this warning: "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." I think you know what I mean by foothold. You think of the old door-to-door salesman, right? you see movies and stuff, and what happens when somebody tries to slam the door? They stick their foot in there, right? And it keeps the door from shutting. That's what sin is doing in our lives. Sin is putting the foot in the door so that the sin can continue to come in and impact our lives and make us unhealthy and make our lives miserable. So we need to pull that sin out of the doorway and get it shut so that we can live healthy spiritual lives. We need to close that door. Sin also blocks us from being able to hear God in our lives. It separates us from God, and we want to remove all those barriers that keep us from experiencing God in our lives so that we can have a healthy relationship with Him. I think we all want that, don't we? We want to be as close to God as we can be. A third impact of this sin of unforgiveness in our lives is probably the one that might worry us most. It impacts our children. Children watch us very carefully. They pick up on our subtleties far more than we realize. If we hold a grudge against someone and refuse to forgive them, it not only impacts our own bodies, but it impacts the lives of our children and our grandchildren as well. Our kids pick up on the animosity and they learn from us. They learn our sin and begin to practice it for themselves. Through our sin, we are leaving the door open for the devil to not only enter our lives, but the lives of our children as well. They will learn bitterness. They will learn anger. They'll learn how to hold grudges. And they will find themselves separated from God as well. But if we're able to model lives of forgiveness and healthy relationships, then what will they learn? Our children and our grandchildren will learn how to live those lives themselves, healthy lives. That's something to think about now, isn't it? The final effect of sin on our lives, that it impacts our eternal life with God. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells the story of a man who owed the king the equivalent of today's matters, about $11 million. And so the king calls the man to his presence and says, "Pay me back." Now, of course, we know that's impossible any time to pay back that kind of debt. So the man begs for mercy. And the king forgave his entire debt. On the way home, the fellow's walking down the street, and he runs into a guy that owes him basically the equivalent of pocket change. And he grabs him and says, "Pay me back." He seems to have forgotten the grace and mercy and forgiveness that he had just received. And he demands repayment from the other fellow. Well, the king catches wind of this and calls him back to his presence and says, "You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, the king delivered him to the jailers until he should repay all his debt. And Jesus adds, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Now Jesus is speaking to those who are following him by this parable. By believing in and following Jesus, we are forgiven of the sin in our lives automatically when we bring it to Him, our God, our Father. In receiving such a gracious gift of love and mercy, we must share it. We must be willing to forgive. Because if we don't, Jesus makes it pretty clear about what the consequences will be. That we will have no place with Him in eternity. Now, Jesus isn't talking to people who don't know how to forgive or talking to new believers or someone who's dealing with something pretty heavy in their lives. He's talking about people who just simply refuse to forgive, who just want to hold on to a grudge. And so in all of this, we see how unforgiveness, holding bitterness and anger in our hearts, is not good. It's not good for us. It's not good for anyone. So we must learn from the teachings of Jesus to learn to forgive, to forgive others as our Father in heaven continually forgives us. Next time, not next week because we're having a shorter service for Remembrance Day, but in 2 weeks' time, we'll continue to look at this area of forgiveness. How Jesus inspires us to forgive as we learn to follow his example of finding new life and releasing the anger in our hearts and releasing the pain through forgiveness. So let us pray. Holy Jesus, we know we all have something in our lives we cannot let go. Some pain or anger which limits our ability to know you and our Father in heaven. And so we ask for your peace in our lives. The peace which comes from forgiveness and healing of broken hearts and weak spirits. As we continue on this journey, may you walk with us and may your Holy Spirit be ever present to us because the journey is hard. We know it is because if you speak on it so often and so passionately, and we also know we will need your help. We also know when we ask, you will fill our needs. You will grant us your Spirit, and we will never be alone. Thank you, Jesus, for the reassurance of faith and your love for us. We pray in your most powerful name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.